Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Paddock Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide, and I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. And today we have a special guest, Deborah Moorhead, who was determined to figure out this relationship stuff, and she did. Along with her 20 years' experience as a therapist, her number one best-selling book, Conscious Love, Enlightened Relationships and Soulful Sex, and her effective trauma-free relationship system, she's going to be sharing her wisdom on our show today. Today, our topic, three mistakes smart women make that create a toxic relationship dance. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Al. And welcome, Debbie. It's so excited to have you today, and thank you for being our guest.
Thank you so much. I am really excited to be here. I just love you guys. I love your radio show. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. It's our pleasure. We are honored to have you. So you talk about the three mistakes smart women make. You know, a lot of our audience are males also. So as we talk to you, I'm just wondering, is there a way that males also benefit from knowing, or do they ever make the same type of mistakes?
I'm glad you asked that. Yes, this definitely is applicable for men as well. We tend to all make the same mistakes when it comes to toxic relationships, right? So this applies for men and women. There'll be a few pieces that even fit a little bit more for women, but you know what? Men can do the same patterns as well. So absolutely. Good. Thank you for your words. That's right.
Before we continue on, for those of you that are listening, if you want to call in and listen to us and ask us any questions live, our call-in number is 713-955-0561. That is 713-955-0561. And you could ask us anything. You could ask Debbie, Cindy, or myself any questions or comments. And Cindy will tell us the Facebook page that you could also that she's also monitoring.
Yes, I monitor the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/group/yourtoxicrelationshipdance. And also, you can go there. We have a link talking about Debbie and how you can work with her and how you can go learn more about her by visiting her website. So you'll want to be sure to hop on over to the Facebook page and join us in the Toxic Relationship Dance conversation. So, Debbie, do you want to tell us anything about you before we get started real quick about what made you decide to go into this line of work?
Well, that gets into my toxic relationships in the past. I'll just really quickly. I mean, the bottom line was, you know, I of course had to learn the hard way, which sometimes we tend to do that, but hopefully, you know, these tips and these ideas and the mistakes to help you to go in a different direction, you can learn a different direction, will help you to not have to go quite the hard way around. But most of us have, you know, had our toxic relationships, and I did as well. I think the bottom line for me was when I was dating a man that was a very toxic relationship, that he ended up stealing from me several times. He stood me up on my 30th birthday when he was supposed to take me out and so many other things. And I just finally realized this is ridiculous. Why am I doing this to myself and allowing this to happen? And I actually went the long way around, and I went into school to become a therapist and got into my own therapy. And what's so amazing and wonderful is in that process, I've learned to absolutely love myself and know what I deserve in a relationship. And I have, you know, learned what the pieces that it takes for a person to be able to really step out of that toxic relationship dance. Right. And, you know, and I've had the sheer pleasure of coming alongside, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people over the past 20 years to be able to help them in their relationship.
And I love what you said, and just want to remind our audience, none of our calls are ever scripted. And if you realize a pattern, almost every single call, if not all of them, either Al or I or our guest always mentions loving yourself. And I just wanted to bring that out. And I know Al often always says everything comes back to self-love. So with that said, do you want to go ahead and, I don't know if Al has any questions or if he wants you to go ahead and let us know the first mistake people make.
Actually, I do have a comment. And so, Debbie, before you go into your wisdom and share your wisdom with us, you know, I totally, here comes the male aspect of it. I've been, what you were just talking about, I've been there. So I totally get it. and the crazy part about it is I put up with it for 40 years. And actually, now that if I'm being honest with myself, it's been longer than that. But here's the but. I don't know about you, and I don't know about everybody else in the audience, but my gut feeling is, just like it was for me, that was normal. I mean, even though it hurt, it was painful, I was disappointed, there was sadness involved, it was normal. And you leave one and go to the next one, it was a different face with a different name, but same characteristic in one form or another, and it was like, well, at least I felt that's what life was dishing out to me. How does a person escape accepting that's normal? I mean, it took me to in my early 40s is when I finally woke up, but it took me 40 years. How does a person wake up? And, I mean, how's that? You know what? I tell you what. If I would have known at 21 years old what I know now, my life would have been phenomenal. But it took me 40 years. How do we wake up from not accepting at being in a toxic relationship as being normal?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that question. And absolutely, it is normal. You know, as human beings, it's just part of how our little brain works. And, you know, when we mate select, when we choose someone, you know, and once we're kind of in it, we tolerate so much. We settle. We tolerate. We all of those different settling ideas, like, oh, it's not that bad, or, you know, I'll just keep trying harder, or, you know, just all of those different ideas. It's the best I can get. We just stay in it once our brain is kind of attached to this other person. And, of course, we don't learn until we are in enough pain. That's often how we learn those things. And I think to answer your question, for one thing, that's definitely part of the three mistakes that I'm going to talk about. But the bottom line is there is, and this is definitely coming from me as a therapist, but there is some unconscious stuff that is going on why we end up choosing and becoming attached or attracted to the people that we are attracted to. And that's why, Cindy, what you said, why, you know, I talked about how I learned how to love myself, is because part of it is really understanding yourself at a different level and why you've chosen the people that you've chosen, so that you can start to go a new and a different direction in your relationship. So that's the answer to that.
So what you're saying is, the only way we're going to wake up and realize this is not quote-unquote normal is to go through the pain?
Well, sorry. Well, the problem is, so here's what's really fun. While you were saying that, Al, it made me think about it. It's so fun right now in my therapy practice. I have some young millennials that have been coming in, and it's so fun for me, because I'm like, hey, here are the 21-year-olds. Here are the, you know, the 22-year-olds. They're coming in, the 24-year-olds. And I'm so excited that they're actually coming in now. But yeah, I mean, part of part of what makes a shift into a breakthrough place is to finally say, I don't like this anymore. This hurts. This is painful. I don't want to keep repeating the pain. What's cool is, like I said, with these younger millennials that are coming in right now, they're, because shoot, we can be in pain even when we're in our high school relationship, right? Or our college relationship.
So that's right.
If you can catch that earlier before you get in, you know, hopefully, you know, like what you did or me and, you know, being stood up on my 30th birthday and all that stuff. If you can catch that earlier, you can make a change earlier. But yes, I guess to answer your question, we need to not like where we're at to finally be open to changing.
You know, what I always say, and I know Al's heard this too, is that change happens when the fear of staying the same is greater than the fear of change.
Yes, and that's a good way of putting that, exactly.
Yeah. I know, you know, I left a 20-year toxic marriage, and and it was, I felt like I either had to, you know, I had two choices, either literally to die or to leave. You know, there was just no other choice because that's just how bad it had gotten. But I do believe we learn from our pain, and it would be so great, you know, and to learn from other people's pain as well, which is, you know, I've always told my daughter, I've always told her, I go, when are you, she's 37, but I still ask her, when are you going to start learning from other people's pain other than being so determined to go through it yourself?
Yes, that's very true.
I do want to make sure we get to the three mistakes that that smart women and men too make that create the toxic dance.
Sure. So I'll jump in, and I'm going to count down. So in priority, because I'm going to count down. So number three is that you don't know what your core needs are. And, you know, here's the reality, and I know Al and I have talked about this before, but here's the reality. As when we are born into this world, we all have basic needs, right? We need, as an infant, we have our basic needs of safety and our physical needs, security and safety within that. We have the need of being loved and connected to. We have the need of kind of significance or, you know, competency or importance. We have the need of, you know, kind of joy and adventure and variety. We have the further needs the earlier ones have been met. We have the needs of being able to contribute to other people and our own self. Maslow calls it self-actualization. But we all have core needs when we're born in this world. And what happens in the environment that we grow up in as young children, some of those needs get met better. Some of them do not get met as well, depending on what's going on. It's not necessarily that our parents or our primary caregivers are you know, bad. In most cases, they try to do the best they can, but they're imperfect and they have their core needs. And what ends up happening to us as young children is we come out of that environment with some wounds or some areas in those needs where we feel like those they didn't fully get met. An example is, we could take all sorts of different examples. Well, on the one hand, if you were had a parent who did pretty severe, you know, discipline or even what would be considered abusive now, you may come out not really feeling safe or secure in the world. And so sadly, what you're going to end up do in an unconscious way is you're going to go out and you're going to choose and find people that are going to recreate that not feeling safe and secure in the world. And then we can take a different example. Oh, go ahead, Cindy.
I just want to add something just what you're saying, and I know a lot of our listeners know this. You may or may not know it, is that I was sexually, physically, and mentally abused by my father growing up.
Mm,
and so much of it, like, what you said is that, you know, I definitely, at that time, I didn't know any better. I mean, it was just my life.
No. Right.
But one thing that definitely hit me was that by the time I really realized I did not want to be abused, I started abusing myself, especially mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I believe that that happens to so many men and women that were abused. And I, you know, mental abuse especially, you know, I always mm-hmm. say that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is the most mm-hmm. false statement anybody's ever made, because it's those words that hurt us to our core, and the mental abuse and being told that we're stupid or worthless or what have you. But mm-hmm. But I did find that I went through a period where I kept mentally abusing myself by saying, I'm not valuable, I'm not worthy, I'm not this.
Sure.
So I sort of wanted to point that out, that whenever you don't feel safe, you can also totally point it towards yourself in this way.
Oh, yes, yes, we can do that. And we do that by choosing people who abuse us, and we do that within our same mind as well. So that's exactly right. That is what we can do. And I think that's part of why this is one of the, you know, the number three mistake that I point out, is because what you need to do is understand what those core needs are, right? So in mm-hmm. the not having safety and security, you created that for yourself, and then you chose the people in your life that kept recreating that. And there's other ways, you know, it doesn't have to be just about abuse and, you know, safety, right? It can be about even not feeling that you're loved or not feeling that you're important in so many different ways. And then you just keep recreating it. So when you understand what your core needs are, then you get to start to change it. And that's exactly what I think you were just talking about, Cindy. You get to start to catch when you're doing that to yourself, or when you're allowing people around you to treat you in those ways. And you actually, there's obviously lots of different ways, but there's ways to start to say, okay, that came from my childhood. Because part of the problem with our core needs is they come out of our childhood, right? But we continue to live as though it's the truth of us today. And it isn't. It really was about the adults in our life as children. And then we get to start to say, no, that's not the truth of me today, and start to make other choices.
Right. So that, and I would add, other than the adults whenever we're children, being the youngest out of five children, I would say it's also the older
yes.
siblings.
Yes, yes, that's
true.
Heard
children.
That is true. That could be very true. So, yeah, because as children, we take everything in. We're what's called egocentric, where we believe
mm-hmm.
whatever that's happening around us is about us. It's our fault. It's about us. So, yeah. Yeah, it can be children as well. But that's why I say that's your first mistake, because when you don't know what your core need is, you continually choose, you know, a variety of ways in your life. But we called it self-fulfilling prophecy. The psychological term is repetition compulsion. But we keep repeating things in the patterns that we experience as children. So knowing it is your first step to being able to shift it and change it. And, you know, there's lots of things to be able to do that. But that's the number three mistake that men and women make that end up creating the toxic relationships.
What's number two?
Number two is that you don't speak up and actually ask for what you need. So that's really the idea. Now, there's a lot that fits in this category, but if you really think about it, we have learned unconsciously, oh, I don't feel important. And so we've learned these different ways to try to feel important. So, for example, for me, I'm a therapist, so no surprise. My way that I learned as a child to try to feel important is I people please. So I try to guess what you want, and I'm always dancing around trying to figure out what you want, and I'll do this and I'll do this. And so I end up people pleasing in hopes that you are finally going to see me and, you know, see that I'm important and treat me as important. So that's all the unconscious kind of ways that I try to get my needs met. And so I don't even know how to actually ask for what my need is. And then on top of it, most of us are not taught or role modeled in our families growing up that our needs are okay, that it's okay to ask for your needs. Our society doesn't support that either. And we are certainly not taught that when we are triggered or when our need isn't met, because that's often where our triggers come from, our little buttons get pushed, we don't even know how to speak up and ask for our needs to be met. So that's the second one, is that we don't speak up and even ask for our needs to be met.
So sometimes you don't even know what that need is. Do you have a quick tip on how somebody can even determine what that need is? Because sometimes you think you want one thing whenever it's really another.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the mistake number three, which is you got to know what your core need is. So, I mean, I would just suggest, first of all, and the four core needs that I encourage people to at least look at, and so here's a way to even identify what your need is, and then I'll talk about how that comes up in the conflict or in the situation. So the four areas, love, significance, these are the general words, love, significance, certainty or safety, and then variety or adventure, joy, those kind of things. First of all, right now, take those four and just go inside yourself and ask yourself the question, and it can be one of two ways. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, is this the place that I feel like I don't have enough of? I don't feel like I have enough love, or I don't feel I'm really important or significant. I don't feel safe. Go inside and ask yourself. The other way to do it is like, yeah, if I just had this, if I just had love, or if I just had somebody that said I am important and always treated me that way, that would feel right. Then you've identified your core wound, your core need. So once you've identified it, then you go into the situations. And whenever you are having an emotional reaction to something, you're feeling upset, you're feeling angry, I will tell you the majority of the time, it's not 100%, but the majority of the time, your button has just got triggered, and it's because that person in some way did not meet or fit what your need was. So, for example, I was actually just talking with somebody, and she hadn't seen her boyfriend for a little while. And so she said to her boyfriend, I really need to have some time, because her core need is not feeling important. She said, I really need to have time with you. And he was like, oh, okay, great. And so he set a dinner date with another couple. And so they could all get together because these were friends of them and everything else. And that's what he did, thinking he was answering her question of, you're saying you need to spend time with me. But for her, her core need was, I need to know that I'm important to you, and her expectation was that they would get together, just the two of them. And so that ended up, that was a trigger for her that night. And what ultimately ended up happening, not in front of the other couple, but there was a fight at the end of the night, because her need, she didn't fully understand what her need was. She didn't know how to speak up for it. So know what your trigger is. I mean, know what your core need is. And then when you are feeling emotional, ask yourself, what happened? What did this person do or say or not do or say that has, created that feeling? Say, for example, of I don't feel important to them. They didn't meet my expectation because I'm not feeling important to them. And then you want to identify how to ask for it, or, take your responsibility and deal with it from that way.
Go ahead, Ella.
I have a quick comment. You're right, Sandy. We got to go to number one. But really quick, I have a quick comment. And as far as asking, our cultural society doesn't promote asking. If anything, it indicates if you ask questions, you're lazy or, you know, figure it out yourself. And that's the kind of a bummer aspect that is that the society disempowers us to ask questions. And on the flip side of that,
yeah.
Once we do ask, and if the answer doesn't come back the way we expected or wanted it to hear, we take it personally. And then that
mm-hmm.
disempowers us because we take it personally, and it's just an answer. Even if the answer is no, it's just an answer. And I know it, and I realize
right.
many it has an emotional charge to it, but if we can evolve
mm-hmm.
from both how society is telling us about asking and not take things so personally, then we become empowered to ask questions. And Cindy's correct. We really got to get to number one here really quick.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So number one is that you lose yourself in the relationship. The bottom line is, and again, when I talk with women, but the truth is men can do this too, is that it is so easy when we get in a relationship that we basically give up ourselves, right? We had our group of friends or we had our friends we did stuff with, but we stopped doing that. We had what were our activities and what we liked, and we stopped doing that. We lose ourselves in the relationship, and it all becomes where everything we're doing is about that other person. We're trying to make them happy. We're trying to, you know, fix whatever's wrong. We're trying to make it right. And we end up giving up and losing ourselves. And I often like to use the metaphor of when I help people with this so that they don't lose themselves in a relationship, I use the metaphor of when you're on the plane and they are teaching you that when the oxygen masks drop, you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help anyone else. Because if you don't, you're dead, right? So it's so important that when we get in a relationship, we make sure that we are putting in, and I know this sounds contradictory, but in certain ways we are putting ourselves first. Because when we know what our needs are, when we know how to speak up for them, when we know how to go and take care of ourselves, keep things going in our own lives, we actually become a much more fully present and more available person in the relationship. Whereas when we lose ourselves, we start taking everything personally. We end up starting, you know, it becomes too much in the relationship, and that will often be the death of a relationship. So that's my number one, is that the mistake is that you lose yourself, and there's lots of steps to take to make sure that you don't do that.
Yeah, it'd be great stuff, and thank you for sharing all your wisdom. Do you have any final thoughts or comments for our audience? And any announcements?
I would just say make sure that you are just put yourself first. Do something every day to make sure that you are taking care of yourself and not losing yourself. And you can go to, I think it's on there, but you can go to my DeborahMoorhead.com and learn more about me. And I actually am really excited. Because I'll be having it on my website, and it won't be till April, but I am going to be doing my very first live event where I get to teach people all of this, because I know that this and the other things that I, in my 20 years of being a therapist, that I get to teach people, it can make a difference in their life. So I'm really excited that my event will be coming up in April, and at DeborahMoorhead.com I'll be announcing all of that.
Congrats, Cindy.
Sounds
any final
great.
Thoughts or comments?
Yeah.
What else?
Just big.
Cindy, any final thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I just want to say big hugs to everybody. He was asking me for my final comments, Debbie.
Sorry, thank you.
That's okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I want to wish all of our listeners big hugs. Be sure to check Debbie's website out. And be sure to tune in with us next week for our next episode. And most of all, continue to love yourself. And
absolutely.
I love you, Rock, Al. You rock. And you rock
right back
too, Debbie.
You too.
Thanks. Love you guys. This has been great. Thanks, Cindy and Al.
Okay. All right, so Debbie Moorhead, our special guest, and she already announced where you can get a hold of her, and Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach for CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. You can reach me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, join us. Listen to the wisdom you just heard and share it with the world. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. Ladies, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.